What's up, Barely Gamers, and welcome back to your favorite podcast about video games.
I'm Juicebox.
And I'm Jackson.
And it's dangerous to go alone, so come with us as we chat about this week's video games.
It's dangerous. Oh, to go alone.
Crushed it.
Crushed it.
Feeling
also,
good today? Tell me.
Feeling good.
You go.
Fucking dick. You what'd said you were going to edit out the beginning part of last week's episode and you didn't. I knew it.
Well, the way that I said it was, I'm going to edit this so it looks dumber. Not that it was going to be better. I was like, it wasn't going to make you come off as better, like you crushed it. It was going to make you look sillier. You know what
I mean? Okay. Yeah. All right, fair.
But at the end, in a way, I did you a favor.
You did. I only got to the Huey, Louie, and Dewey part. The Huey, yeah, Dewey, yeah, and Louie, yeah, part. I only got that far. But I will finish.
Guys, I mean, you don't have assigned homework here. You don't need to. You lived it. You don't need to go back and re-listen.
Oh, yeah. But sometimes
there were some edits last week.
Yeah. But also, like, I remember when I stopped listening, I could tell your feelings were hurt.
Definitely. Big time.
Yeah. Because you'd be like, but you don't listen to us anymore. And I was like...
They weren't really hurt. I was just doing a bit. But, you know, if I have to listen to it twice because I go through and edit it, you have to listen to it. That's just a
it's solidarity.
Yeah.
No. Balanced. So, yeah, exactly. So I get in the car and I drive to the gym and I pop her on.
Love that. I appreciate it. Mm-hmm. I like when you get to the gym, you put it on. So everyone listens.
Did that one time. Very embarrassing.
Yeah, by accident. You told me that. Yeah,
very embarrassing. I was just really like,
And that was when you had just started a new job too, right?
I just started at the CrossFit, yeah. And like I knew everybody already because like I worked out there for like 5 years, but like I wasn't been coaching yet. So I was just like, no.
That's funny. I like that a lot.
Oh my God.
How are things? We're 7 days from Christmas. Oh my God. I hate that. Saying it out loud. That's gross. I hate it.
I like Christmas. I'm in one of those things where it's like it's a very global warming Christmas right now. Not a lot of snow.
Sure.
So it makes it hard to get into that Christmas mood, but then also selfishly don't really love an icy drive and I got to drive everywhere. So selfishly driving has been lovely, but you're not really in that Christmassy mood.
Yeah.
But I'm getting ready for a Christmas show on Saturday. So
yeah, that's exciting.
I know. I'm going to do... these are a few of my favorite things. My favorite things by Kelly Clarkson. Dangerous on roses and whiskers on kittens. That one.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know that song.
Of course I know that song.
Yeah. Where Are You Christmas? Faith Hill.
Where Are You Christmas?
Right? I said, I don't give a fuck. I'm doing a ballad. And then I'm going to do a Sabrina Carpenter song called A Nonsense Christmas.
Cool. Can I ask you a question?
Please.
Does anyone ever call Sabrina Carpenter Sabcar?
Guess what?
We're going to start.
We're going to start.
Woo! I like it. Sabcar.
Sabcar. Cool. Sounds like a sidecar, but a Sabcar.
Yeah, it definitely sounds like a vehicle.
What is she? She has a shirt that says Jesus was a carpenter.
That's fun.
Her last name's Carpenter.
Oh, okay. Sure.
Yeah. Jesus was a carpenter, meaning like Jesus was a Sabrina Carpenter fan.
Oh.
Jesus was a carpenter. Kind of fun.
She doesn't have the same branding as Taylor Swift. She needs a different team. You know what I mean? We talked about how T-Swift's team, they crush it. They get everything right. This one needs some work.
Sabrina Carpenter? I think it's a really different demographic.
She could have workshopped this one differently. That's all I'm saying.
Sabrina Carpenter?
For the wordplay? For the wordplay for the merch? That's where I'm at.
Oh.
You could have worked.
No. I think that's just a shirt she wore one time. I don't think that's merch.
Oh. That's fine then. Statement withdrawn.
Statement withdrawn. Pulling that one back.
Withdrawn. Yep. Anyhow.
Oh, that's good. How are you?
I'm fine.
Wow. I was going to say the energy is low today.
No, I want to bring the energy. I'm having a weird day. It's my first day of my holiday break. I took an extra 3 days leading into the holidays. So I'm like, hell yeah. But I think a number of things, my day didn't get off to the best start. I had a couple of like inconveniences along the way. And I think more than anything, I'm kind of regretting my allocation of time during this Christmas break. So I'm flying home on the 23rd to Ontario and I'm there until the 3rd. And then I come back and I'm realizing that aside from like the next 3 or 4 days, I don't really have any time that's just time off for me to do nothing, which I really feel like I needed. And I think I over-indexed on the amount of time I wanted to spend at home and trying to, I think, jump through a lot of hoops to facilitate face-to-face time with friends and family and stuff at home. Mm. So if we're being honest, more family than anything else. But yeah, just kind of like lamenting that I didn't take more time for just rest. And then today, oh my God, let me tell you, I started my day going to Timmy's, as I start so many days, and they gave me my breakfast and I got in my car and I drove away. They gave me the wrong fucking breakfast. And let me tell you, that's not a good way to start. And I couldn't bounce back. You know what I mean?
And what did I say before this? You got $5. Sure. And you lose 10 cents.
Yeah.
You got $0 or $4.90.
And then what did I say?
You said, are you some kind of fortune cookie or something?
I said, what are you, a fucking fortune cookie? Yeah. That's what I said.
I don't know what the actual like thing is. I think it's that.
How dare you downplay my bad day? How dare you?
How dare you? Let my day be ruined.
Let me wallow. Fucked. You know what I mean?
Just let me rot. Fucking,
let me just scowl and grunt in response to things. And you're out here telling me I have low energy and I need to look on the bright side. Get fucked. Like, get fucked. You're a bad friend.
You're a bad friend. Let me be mad.
Let me be miserable.
Yeah. Especially because when I'm miserable, you just let it happen.
I just say, you need anything? Here's some candy, loser.
Do you want me to send you your Tim Hortons order?
No, it's fine.
Are you sure? Yeah, I don't have your new address.
I'm out. No more Tim's for me.
You're going to Dunkin' Donuts?
Yeah, I'm going to drive across the border into America to get Dunkin' Donuts.
You're going to coffee time it?
No, we don't do that out here. We have there's a brand in Vancouver, and I'm sure there's more of them, but they're called Waves.
Oh, and fucking hate Waves.
Waves leans in. They're like, we're Canadian here. So yeah, Waves does the things weirdly. So you know how an Americano is a espresso-based caffeine drink?
Yeah.
They don't do Americanos. They do Canadianos.
I hate that.
And a large isn't a large. It's a Waves.
I hate
so
that.
If I go in and friend of the show, Lime Fitz, told me that they went in and they were like, hey, can I get a large Americano? They went, oh, do you mean a Waves Canadiano? And I would
have just, me.
I would have left. I would have just been like, no, goodbye.
Fills me with rage. Anytime so I've been there, the front desk people are like kind of spicy, like not the fucking nicest to me. And I'm just like, okay. I mean, your whole thing is being Canadian. Canadians are nice. Jesus fuck.
Yeah.
And the food's just mid, and the tea, I always get a tea there, mid.
Yeah.
You know, and you don't got a fruity drink and you're trying to be a Starbucks ripoff. You don't got a fruity little drink for me?
No, I won't do it. Nah, I'll be honest. The one that I live near, I walk by, always empty. Always empty. There's a handful of other ones. Basically, what I'm trying to say is I'm on the market for another reliable coffee shop that I can get my goodies at and not have to spiral into a 24-hour mood. Yeah.
Can't go to Starbucks. Canceled.
Did we cancel Starbucks? What did they do wrong?
I think it's still on a boycott list.
Are they funding a genocide?
I think.
Who knew the coffee game could get so complex morally?
You're walking around to the Starbucks and people are just like, you fucking asshole. Like,
I didn't know. They have delicious holiday beverages.
Oh my God. Yeah, no, I think Starbucks is out. Yeah, I don't drink coffee, so I can't really help. What if you just go to like you're in a city? What if, isn't there just like a local little spot?
Yeah, there's a couple local spots that I bounce around from, but also like I make my own coffee, you know, from the ground up. I grow it. No, I don't. I French press my own coffee.
Got my own little coffee plant. Yeah, is it a plant? Yeah. Is it a coffee plant? Bush? Is it a bush?
Is it a tree?
It's a tree. Coffee tree.
You tell me.
I don't know. I'm asking.
You've given me all the options. Which one is it?
Tree.
Yeah. Strong.
Nice.
Yeah. Coffee tree.
Is this the hockey thing again?
Do you think I would do the same bit 2 weeks in a row?
Yeah.
Yeah, this is the coffee. This is the hockey thing. but yeah, I make my own coffee. But the thing is, I'm usually up to two coffees a day. So I go out in the afternoon and I get a little drinky drink. And that's like my little treat. And since I work from home, I'm like, I got to get the fuck out of my apartment. So that's why I go and do it. And when Tim Hortons lets me down, I swear to frigging God. I swear to God.
When I go to Tim Hortons...
Mm-hmm.
Timbit?
Yeah. One?
Singular Timbit.
You get, no, I get one singular Timbit.
No, I get Timbits, plural.
Okay, so those like who don't know, because Timbits is a Canadian thing, donut holes, like the little tiny spheres that are donuts, that's a Timbit.
Timbits. Or Timbits.
Yeah, in Canada, but not, not abroad.
Yeah, it is a Timbit. You know what a Timbit is.
Not everybody knows what a Timbit. Oh, timeout. Where do you? You know that Tim Hortons is almost exclusively in Canada, correct?
Yeah, but like everybody knows what a Timbit is.
That would be incorrect because Timbit is a Tim Hortons branded item.
Hmm.
So why would they know if they don't know what Tim Hortons is? Why would they know what a Tim Hortons product is?
Hmm.
You know what I mean?
I'm having main character syndrome with this one.
It's okay. You know, yeah, you feel your feels. Okay. What do you need? Some candy?
So I get Timbits, plural. I get a 10 to 20 pack.
Yeah.
One of those. Yeah. Recently, I've started getting a little bit warmed up to the powdered donut one.
Not bad.
With the strawberry polarizing. Filling.
Yeah, polarizing because it's a mess.
Here's my it's a mess, but here's my thing. I never used to get that. I never used to eat that one because,
yeah,
you know, I'd be like, oh, that one's gross. Nobody wants that one. And then when I started wanting it, I would buy the thing. And then the people who love that one love that one. So they always eat it first. So I wasn't able to actually eat it until
interesting.
Yeah. So then I was able, then I finally was like, I want that one in there. Nobody touch it. So I ate it and I was like, oh, I fucks with this. This is good. I get that. If I'm desperate, I'll get a bagel because their bagels are like gum. They're gummy.
They're okay.
They're like chewy. But can I fucking, my bone to pick with Tim Hortons right now? Nobody fucking wants your pizza.
Nobody wants your flatbreads. Why are they fucking on your menu? What are you doing here?
I don't want that.
It's one of my conspiracy theories. But Tim Hortons was bought by the same company that owns Burger King. And they don't understand. Like Tim Hortons was doing great. They were coffee. They were sweets. That's kind of fucking it. Not good coffee by any means. It's like, it's cheap. It's affordable. It's approachable. Get in, get out. You got a hockey thing in the morning. You got to take your kid to hockey at 6 a.m. Go get your Tim Hortons. Bring a whole box to the team. Go ahead. Get those donuts. Go. Now, they're owned by Americans. At some point, they tried chicken and waffles. That's not a thing up there.
No.
That's not a thing that we do here. Why are you doing flatbreads? I'm in Tim Hortons 3 to 5 times a week. I've never seen someone order or walk out with a flatbread in any of my visits there. Zero times.
It's a Tim Hortons. There's an oven and a coffee machine. I don't trust them to make any other kind of food.
That's all they need. Why are we trying to do more? It's fucking capitalism, juice box. Because, we got to show more gains year over year. Just go make your fucking coffee and stay in your goddamn lane.
Caffy. Hacky. Do you notice that? Hacky. Caffy.
Donuts.
That's how you talk.
Yeah, it's on purpose. I'm over accentuating. Especially when
I don't know if you are.
Oh, it absolutely is. Yeah.
Hacky. Because when we went back to, when we go back to the hockey reel, which may I say, got dust, and it's one of my favorite ones up there with Raymond.
Bullshit, right? Nobody loves, no love for it.
No love for it. It made me cackle. I love that one. Anyways, it's always the ones I like. You say, there's no Pelicans in hockey.
Yeah.
Hacky.
I say Mr. hacky because I think
Mr. Box was cackling.
I like that. Tell him. Mm-hmm. Tell them what up, you know?
I will. The little wink? Wow.
Give him the wink. Give him the wink.
Wow, the little wink too.
Yeah. As long as he doesn't misinterpret, you know? Because you and I, we have clear boundaries. We see each other multiple times a week. You understand. You're not going to stop trying, but you also know you're not going to get anywhere.
Well, it's for the bit.
So, exactly. And then for the bit, I flirt back because you know and we know and everyone knows.
It's for the bit. It's for the bit.
Sometimes
it's consensual.
Consensual. Platonic.
Male affection.
Male affection. Exactly. So
non-sexual. Platonic.
Non-sexual.
Platonic. Like male affection.
Male affection. So I have to remember with my other gay friends that we don't have that same dynamic. So I can't flirt with all the gay men, only the ones that
that would be bad. Because
it's bad news.
Yeah, because you're a little gay. So if you do that, they're going to get the wrong idea.
I remember one of the first gay bars I was in. I was probably like 21, 22. I was in the States, so just legal age there. And I was in a gay bar, and I was wearing a flannel. There was a picture from that night that I remember, green flannel. I had throwback to last week, I had a St. Louis Blues hat on, blue and yellow cap. And someone took a picture of me that night with someone else. And I remember one of my first experiences, someone walked by. I was just kind of in like a high traffic area, but off to the side, just kind of taking in. I love people watching. They were walking by. And people would come and go, and someone walked by, stopped, turned and looked at me, and just went, "You do not strike me as a gay man." And I went, "Oh no, I'm just here with friends." And they went, "Why torture us?" And then they walked off. And I was like, "Oh, huh. So this is what a gay bar is like." Okay, sorry about that.
You're like, "Oh, I like this. This is nice. I feel so good about myself.
Nice to me. That's neat."
I would have been like, "Well, you could buy me a drink, you know."
I'm so sorry. Oh, okay. Well, if you're looking for ways to make amends, I can think of a few. Yeah.
I love that. What was my first gay bar? Oh my God. My first gay bar was a bar called Knights. It was the Happy Tap.
Okay.
And I snuck in.
I was going to ask if your first bar was when you were underage.
I snuck in. Yeah. I snuck in with a bunch of friends and I think I like nursed a cooler. Like, I don't think I barely drank any.
Cute.
There was almost nobody there and we just like giggled the whole time. We very obviously looked like we snuck in and we were underage. Yeah.
Yeah.
And my second gay bar, after my parents took me to Toronto for my 19th birthday with me and me, Mr. Box, and a bunch of my friends, and took us to like Woody's and Cruise and Tango's, mm-hmm. To like party at gay bars with like mm-hmm. my mom's hairdresser friend Vito. He wore Vito. Yep.
Mr. Miyagi? Was he your mentor, your Sherpa?
No, he was like the first like very overtly gay man that I've ever met.
Right.
Because he's done my mom's hair since she was like in her 20s.
What do you think he's up to these days?
He's still doing her hair.
Whoa, we know what he's up to.
Holy oh, yeah, shit. I know what Vito's doing. Yeah, he wow. still has Anessia hair in Windsor, Ontario. He still does my mom's hair once a month. She's mad every single time because I call her and I go, hey, mom, how's your hair? And she goes, well, you know, Vito, you know, it's he always does what he wants, doesn't do what I want because doing my hair for this long, he just doesn't listen to me. So her hair always looks good. So I'm just like, I don't know what you're mad at. But so I remember he was wearing he was so on, like so jacked with steroids. Like this man was massive. So he's lean, huge. He was wearing a pink stringer tank top. A brown toupee because he had no hair. So he had a brown toupee on and it was just smacked onto his head.
Yeah.
Skin tight, white wash denim jeans with holes all in them and a leopard print thong peeking out of the top of the jeans with cowboy boots.
Wow.
And that's what he wore to take us all out in for a night on the town for my 19th birthday.
He was a stereotype that night.
Oh, it's very like, we work hard, we play hard. Mm-hmm. Everybody dance now. What's that from?
That's a song. It's from
No, no, no. No, 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 no. I'll do the whole scene.
Oh,
we
great.
Work hard, hold on, we play acting. Hard. Remember? And then they're in the, and then, oh, you bitch. And he's like carrying the thing. They're yellow.
Is this the Minions?
The Simpsons.
Oh, great. You made one reference from a show that has 3,000 episodes.
It's the gayest episode of The Simpsons. It's where he thinks Bart is going to be gay. So he takes him to the steel plant. And it turns out the steel plant is actually a giant gay bar. And that's they're funny. Like, we work hard, we play hard. And then Everybody Dance Out comes on and then they all start dancing at the steel plant.
Great. I think that's really fun. But I think also you may have... maybe just misrepresented what type of media I consume. Because I don't know why you would just think, hey, that one gay episode from The Simpsons, you don't know that?
Everybody knows the gay episode from The Simpsons. Come on.
Well, I guess next time. I'll know for next time. Yeah.
So anyways, that's what Vito's up to.
Classic Vito, man.
Yeah, classic Vito.
Yeah. You and Vito ever...
No, he's kind of like an uncle and not in like the porn way and like uncle. Not in the like uncle I'm stuck in the dishwasher kind of thing. Like not like that. Like a this feels weird.
Sure. Understood.
Yeah. One time he got really drunk at like a pride and hugged me for like a little bit longer.
The uncomfortably long hug.
Uncomfortably long hug and like lifted me up and like I had just turned 19. So I was just like, this is strange.
don't love this
But yeah, no, otherwise no. And he's also I think he's like, oh my God, how old is he now? It's got to be close to my mom's age.
95.
Yeah,
still cutting hair though. Good for him.
Yeah, crushing it.
Yeah, love that.
Where were we?
I don't know.
Bars, that was my first gay bar. Oh my God. And then the Happy Tap turned into Legends of 2012. What a name.
Why Legends of 2012?
That's what they renamed it to, Legends of 2012. And then 2012 happened, and the bar just stayed open, and it was called Legends of 2012 until, like, 2015. We were like, you got to change the name, babe.
That's super weird.
Mm-hmm. What a name. They were like, we're all going to die. Let's just name the bar this.
They're all – gay bar names are great because they're, like, squish and, like, fucking – moist. Like there's a lot of just onomatopoeia and a lot of like just adjectives. It's a good time.
There was a lesbian bar in Toronto called Slacks.
Oh, that's a good one.
That's a great lesbian bar name. Slacks?
I like that.
Yeah. Pantsuit.
Pinstripe.
If you were going to open a gay bar today, what would you name it?
Oh, fuck. Juice's Juicy Hole.
Wow.
People would be in there on the regular.
The Juicy Hole.
Juicy's Holes.
Juicy Holes.
I don't know. I'm going to be honest. I biffed it. I'm not pleased with my first answer. What's yours? What would you call it?
I would name it anal, but the N would have that like two dots on top of it. And it would be like, and then it would be like weirdly spelt.
I'll be honest. I don't think either of us nailed it. I don't think we crushed it. It's not our best work.
It's not our best work. No, we're not going to open up a gay bar
tomorrow.
We'll
workshop this.
Maybe we refocus
our dreams for something else.
Oh my God.
Hey, Juice, you and I did something really fun last week. We did our first ever, and we've talked about this for years now, I think, but mm-hmm. we finally did a live reaction to like a games industry type event. Mm-hmm. So the Game Awards 2024 were last week, and you and I did a live reaction for about 4 hours. It was a very long show. And it is both industry awards as well as a lot of marketing, trailers, reveals, updates, moments for a lot of new and upcoming games. Like I said, the show all in, including the pre-show, was about 4 hours, I think, maybe 3.5. So wow. It was a long one. There was a ton of content, tons of reveals, tons of trailers, like all of this stuff. And I had a really, really, really good time. And I think it only makes sense that you and I take a moment and just kind of recap and go through, talk about some of the things that we're most excited about, talk about some of the moments that were coolest, and kind of go through the whole thing. I don't know if you made a list or if we just kind of want to chat about it, but like, let's go back and forth. You made a list.
I made a list. I prepared one out this there week.
And let's just chat. You know what I mean?
I want to talk to you about Stage Fright.
Okay. Oh, the game. I thought you were talking about, because it was an on-stage presentation. That's on me. I fucked that up.
No, I don't have Stage Fright.
Well, I know, but I thought maybe you were like, I could tell in some of the people that were on stage that they were nervous. Oh,
those fucking nerds, of course they had fucking Stage Fright. Yeah. But
I mean, you want to talk about the game or you want to talk about the concept of Stage Fright?
I'm going to talk about the game.
Okay, let's talk about the game. And then I want to talk about the concept.
Of Stage Fright.
Yeah, after.
Well, why don't we start with the concept of Stage Fright?
So it's only tangentially related to Stage Fright, but we'll talk about the on-stage presence, right? So the show's a mix of trailers and reveals, and the main host, Jeff Keighley, coming out to throw the things, and the co-host, Sydney Goodman, also throwing to things, and then a number of people coming on to accept awards and present awards. Now, the thing that drove me fucking nuts was anytime there was a teleprompter involved, I don't know who's writing for this show, but it is cringe material to a T. There was a segment of like 4 to 5 back and forth between two characters, two people that play the same character, one in a game, one in a live action adaptation. And they went back and forth for about 3 minutes just doing puns that were absolutely awful. And their segment started by their teleprompter not being on and them calling it out on stage. Scripted moments were so uncomfortable. I don't know who's writing, but every time there was a teleprompter involved, other than like your main hosts going through the run of show, I was uncomfortable. I was cringe central.
Yeah, they were hard to watch. And I think like with an award show like this, when you're not using like the reason that like things like the Grammys and the Oscars and stuff are so well done is because they're mostly like actors or musicians. So they're used to being on stage. They're used to those kind of teleprompters. These are, and what's so funny is those were actors.
They were.
So you think that they would eat that up. But like I found for most of the people is like, unless they were a voice actor, but they weren't like, a lot of them weren't like to that level of like stardom. So I just found that it was just a little awkward.
Yeah, to that effect, I do think it was the writing more than it was the execution. You're not giving your people, who are pretty talented, much to work with. Like, Aaron Paul from Breaking Bad was on stage for a minute. And, like, their segment wasn't as bad, but you can tell that it was not bad because he is a talented actor and he was across from working off of another talented actor.
Yeah, but theirs, like, was good.
You could still tell it was still pretty fucking cringy. There was also a moment where Harrison Ford came on stage.
Oh, God, that was. And
so I think we read it differently than I saw other news outlets, because there's a moment he comes on stage. He's talking about Indiana Jones. There was a new Indiana Jones game, and he references the teleprompter and is waving, kind of waving down. And I was like, oh, they fucked up and they went too far ahead in the teleprompter. The coverage that I saw and the headlines I saw suggested that they put up a joke he didn't want to read. Are you eating popcorn right now? It's the loudest food ever in the history of the world in the middle of a fucking recording. It's so loud. This is disgusting. This is disgusting. This is the worst moment in our content creation history right now.
I just want a bite.
Hungry. Well, how fucking satiating is popcorn? You're like, oh, I need a nibble. This is going to tide me over for the next 3 hours. What do you do?
How do you think I've lost over 20 pounds?
Popcorn. Just popcorn?
Popcorn's my snack.
Oh my God, you're driving me nuts right now.
I love you so much, baby.
I love you, you fucking moron.
So you think it was an inappropriate joke? I think they just
Even think inappropriate. I just think, like, the the reputation that Harrison Ford has is like a grumpy old fucker, right? So I get the impression that he just didn't like the joke and didn't want to say it. It was like, fuck it, roll on.
He's like, that's stupid.
Yeah.
Go.
Yeah. So that's kind of the headline that I saw. Whereas I thought that he doesn't control the teleprompter. My thought was the teleprompter just got away from him and he was waving it back or whatever.
I was getting waving it back. That's the energy I got, because it was awkward.
Yeah, agreed. So anyhow, my point, not to necessarily stage fright, but there was just awkward on stage moments. I get it. Everyone's a gamer there. Everyone plays games in some capacity. But, like, yeah, awkward personalities were
strange.
They were prevalent. They were not. It was not a rarity that I was like, "Oh, can we just get to the next thing? Because this is uncomfortable."
I'm not surprised that there was uncomfortable when there was 150 billion fucking nerds in a room. Like, I love nerds. I am a nerd, but, like, it's not going to be fucking surprising if that's going to happen.
Yeah.
But speaking of the fucking Game Awards, they had. It was essentially just a giant commercial.
I tried to tell you this ahead of time, but you. It didn't,
no, I it know didn't really you hit did,
until you
but it,
until you were there, you lived it.
When you were like, "Yeah, it's just a bunch of damn nonsense," I was like, "Oh, cool, they'll make it like a thing." But I was just like, "This is one long fucking commercial." Like, Jesus Christ! But with that being said, there was a lot of games that were announced as fucking commercials. But I want to talk about one, mostly because I learned something today about it that I want to talk to you about.
Stage fright.
Stage fright.
From the stage fright that made. Overcooked.
Yes. Team that made Overcooked created Stage Fright. And Stage Fright is essentially like It Takes Two, where it's like split screen. One person plays on one side, plays on the other side. It's going to be PC exclusive, I think. And it's not scary, but it's like, it's about facing your fears. Right? So Stage Fright is going to use real-time voice recognition in game. For you to be able to do things. So the more I researched it, you're going to be using real-time voice recognition. And it's stage fright. So guess what they're going to make you do in-game?
Deliver monologues.
You have to sing.
Get fucked. I don't want to play this game anymore.
You have to sing, because that's the scariest thing that you have to do in front of people.
Yeah, because it's talent-based and not everyone has that talent.
So you have to sing in stage fright.
I don't want to play anymore.
That's so fucked.
That's so weird.
Scary.
Where did you read or hear about this?
I was watching, because I wanted to just look at what all the games were. So right before we had started, I was like, oh, this is like a list of all the announcements. And the guy who was saying that was basically said he was like, stage fright. And he said everything that I just said. He was just like, this is going to use real-time voice recognition. It's going to be PC exclusive. And you're going to have to sing in-game, because that's essentially what stage fright is singing.
Okay, I'm going to wait until I hear more, because I'll be honest, Juice, I love you to bits, but sometimes you bring in information. You're like, I saw it on Twitter, and I'm like,
IGN video.
I'm not going to question you on this one. I'm just saying that, you know what? I'm going to wait to hear more before I... Because this came on, And it's like a cutesy kind of chibi style characters, adorable. Like short and yeah, fun and very clearly split screen co-op. And then like, that's right up our alley. So I'm really excited. I want to give this a shot, but if that's the hook, that might not be for me anymore.
You don't want to sing with me?
No, I'm a bad singer and I'm very aware of it.
Yeah, same. My angel of music.
Here, give me a bar.
No.
Okay, good. I like that.
You give me a bar.
Get fucked. So bouncing off of that, right? Like co-op, split screen. There was a new game. It's called Split Fiction. Don't love the name. Don't love the concept of the story. But it's the same developer as It Takes Two and A Way Out. It's very co-op focused. It's very co-op friendly. It's the same shtick of you buy one copy, you can give a guest pass to someone else to play this game with. The reason I don't love the name, it's just mid. It's a mid name. Split Fiction, fine.
Because it's two different types of fiction, sci-fi versus fantasy. It is a split fiction.
It's a little on the nose for me. Like, okay, fine. It's like, and then the concept of like, they're two authors in fantasy and sci-fi, and you're going to go back and forth between fantasy and sci-fi gameplay. Fine, whatever. If we're being honest, It Takes Two, I don't give a shit about the story. If we're being honest, that's not the strength of that game, that style of game, that studio that's creating it, right? Like, the strength is unique co-op experiences. You and I going back and forth, doing slightly different things, supplementary to each other, helping each other through the process. It's not the same. And it's constantly reinventing what style of gameplay it is, mm-hmm. right? We had flying levels, we had platforming levels, we had shooting levels. It does all of it, the diversity, the excitement, it's all there. But the story, the characters, that was never the fucking forte. Do I need to reinvoke the fucking book? From It Takes Two, the most annoying video game character to almost ever exist. So all of that being said, while the story of, you're two authors and you go into different, I don't care. That's not fun. That's not engaging. That's not good. Will I play it? 110%. Is it one of the games I'm most excited to play? Definitely. Because I think there are not a ton of co-op, carefully crafted co-op experiences that we get these days. So you and I all the time are trying to be like, well, what game should we play next together? This is one that on day one, we're going to play, and it's already in your calendar, so I like it.
Also, with that being said, we are playing a lot of Marvel Rivals together.
We're playing a lot of Marvel Rivals together. I was thinking, I don't know if, like, do we do a whole episode where we just talk about Marvel Rivals? Like,
I was going to say next week.
That might be our next week, and then we do one more before the end of the year, and that's our Game of the Year talk, and then boom. Bob's your uncle. Do you have an Uncle Bob, by chance?
Uncle Rob.
Well, that's Bob. Bob is your uncle.
Yeah.
Perfect. Cool. Thanks. So yeah, Split Fiction. I'm excited for it. I think the name is dumb and I won't play it for the story or the name. I'll play it for very cool, engaging gameplay.
Now, also, another one that got announced, which I'm excited for, Dispatch.
Dispatch. That was the one with Aaron Paul on stage.
Yeah, Dispatch has Aaron Paul and the girl from Vox Machina. What's her name?
I don't remember because I actually didn't know, but I found out later a different games commentary, games industry, games personality. Alana Pierce is also a voice in this game. Yeah. So
I like the animation style. It's almost like it looked like a movie, but it's not rendered like 3D. Like, it's not rendered to look like a game. It's rendered to look like a cartoon.
It's kind of cel shaded animation, kind of. So it's pretty
kind
unique.
Of, but and flatter.
But if anyone's familiar with Telltale games, and they did a lot of them, they had a Walking Dead series, they had Tales from the Borderlands, they had a Batman series, they had The Wolf Among Us, which I believe was a graphic novel. They've done a lot of creation in this type of game, this story-driven game, low action, but like really well-crafted, and you love your choices matter. So then And then this one is like, dispatching, you work for a company as a dispatcher, kind of similar
for superheroes
to like emergency services, but for you're sending out superheroes to
Superheroes, but you're a former superhero that got the you got injured, so now you're on a desk job. So it's kind of like you go from being like the big guy to like the guy on the bottom. So it looks like a really interesting concept, a really interesting story, so I'm really excited for it. So that's one that I'm 100% gonna play.
I think for me, I'll watch you play this because I like the concept.
Appreciate the view.
Of course. I like the concept. I think it's going to be really well polished. I think it's going to be really cool, but it's just not my style of game. Like just kind of watching the dialogue and picking choices. That's not typically how I enjoy games that much. Unless you're giving me a teen slasher horror story, then I'm all in.
Love that shit.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I think that'll be a cool one. Again, Aaron Paul on stage. Aaron Paul, like, games are, they're not niche. Games are a massive money-making industry, but for some reason they still kind of feel niche. Like when we were young, they were. It was a nerd thing. It wasn't popularized. It wasn't mainstream. So every time we cross over into the mainstream, even in my 30s, I'm like, oh, wow, we've made it. Even though we don't really need to defend it in any way. Does that make sense? I know that's a kind of weird thing. Yeah. Yeah. Trying to think back to the whole experience. It was, again, taking a step back from the show and the announcements themselves. You and I going through and live reacting was really fun. We went on an hour early. We went through all of the different categories. We made our predictions. You were up by two very early and you got cocky as shit. You ended up losing by four. And I kept this. I'm going to sign this.
You
I'm going to
bring it home. You fucking rotted bitch. See, here's my thing. I think it's because I always should go with my gut and then I don't go with my gut.
Yeah.
And then I lose.
Can I tell you, if you went by your gut, you would have still lost by two or three. So, yeah. So, I don't know. You can use it as an excuse if you want to. Can I tell you another thing about our stream that day?
Please.
It cost me $100.
What?
Cost me $100 because I had a dentist appointment that afternoon,
Jackson,
that I forgot about until the day before. And they were like, hey, reminder. And I went, oh, I can't make it. They're like, there's a cancellation fee of $100. And I went,
oh no, Jackson.
So that's on me. That's purely on me. I made bad choices and was
Do you want me to clean your teeth when you
visit? I'm good. Thanks. So
no worry. I've got like some stuff upstairs. I got like a floss. I could.
You're gonna floss my teeth for me?
Yeah, I'll floss your teeth for you, then and I'll like I'll scrape the plaque from behind your teeth and everything.
I appreciate that. I think
won't even make it. I won't even make it sexy. I'll just like do it.
Yeah, I bet.
Yeah,
I think you're
no incapable. Jokes.
I think you're incapable. You're gonna be in and around my mouth, and you're not gonna make any sex jokes.
I'm not gonna make one sex joke.
Zero.
Zero.
None. What's the punishment if you? I mean, when you do?
No, you bite my finger off.
Okay, deal.
Deal. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm hungry,
nice.
Boy.
Good. I am a piranha. What's that from?
It's not Finding Nemo. Is it Monsters? No. Is it Finding Nemo?
It's Finding Nemo.
Oh, okay, cool.
Good job.
I am a piranha.
Speaking of piranhas. No, you go.
How'd you feel about the actual awards section? I think the number one
news.
Okay, so you're part of the problem. The number one criticism leveled against the Game Awards is that they do not feel like a celebration of the industry.
No.
Because there's so many goddamn trailers and announcements, et cetera, et cetera. It's a super hype, very exciting time, but I feel like it's difficult to position yourself as a celebration of all of these successes in the industry when so much of your show is not the actual awards ceremony. So I think the awards themselves, like, you know, there was a handful of less popular ones that didn't get as much playtime where they're like, cool, we're just going to run through three of them rapid fire. Here are your winners. And we're like, okay, I guess. But again, like if you're trying to take a moment to put a spotlight on all the hardworking individuals in the industry and the great things that they've created, you kind of got to give a little bit more attention, in my opinion. Now,
can I be controversially yet brave?
Of course. Aren't you always?
1 hour and a half show.
Sure.
Five major game announcements. That's all. And you make it a very big deal on which five they are. And it's a very impressive, cool trailer. And then the rest is filled with awards, accomplishments, and performances.
Can I tell you?
Please.
No one would watch. So the difficulty of this is that it is a business. At the end of the day, they need to make money off of it. So the trailers are where they get paid. If nobody's watching, the value of those, the willingness of people to pay is down. It's lower. So say we do the 90-minute show. We put in five banger trailers. Well, now the audience that's consumer focused and not games industry focused, they're like, oh, well, like I'll just watch the reviews later because there's only five of them. It's not really a destination. You have to make it a destination. So therein lies the problem. You have to get people in the door to want to watch the content to then show up so they can charge more money. And you end up in this kind of endless cycle of we need more people to make more money, and to get the people in the door, we need the content. And therefore, more and more, the content, or sorry, the award side of it falls to the back burner and kind of falls out of the focus of the show. So the game of the year went to Astrobot, our favorite game.
As it should.
My favorite game of the year, for sure. I think fully deserving. Now, I don't know if you caught it because you were very sleepy at this point in time.
Oh, a little baby.
Way past your bedtime, and we'd been live for over 4 hours. But there was a basically last year's Game of the Year award winner, Larian Studios, which made...
I know this.
Larian Studios.
Elden Ring.
They made Baldur's Gate 3.
They won
Game of the Year last year, and they went up, the representative Sven went up on stage and basically presented this award and made this massive speech about the games industry, which is in peril, and it's because of mismanagement and capitalism, and this is the way that you do it. It's a simple equation. You take care of your people, you make good choices, you make good games, and you go out there and you fucking win awards. And it was this really, really big moment. Did it hit for you? Did it have impact for you? Like for me, because I work in the games industry and I have friends that have been laid off, many of them, it hit for me in like a really emotional way. Did it have the same impact as someone who is predominantly a game player like yourself? No. Interesting. I think the Game Awards in general has a split focus audience that they are struggling with. And I think the only way to really win, because inevitably, I had so much fun. I had so much fun. And I can guarantee you that there is something that everyone was excited for coming out of this show, but inevitably it gets hate online after, no matter what.
It was too long. It was incredibly too long.
To me, the only way to win is to break it off into two separate things. Do all of your reveals. Do a wintertime announcement show, because Jeff Keighley does Summer Game Fest, which is that in the summer. It's just announcing a ton of fucking games. Do that in the winter. Break off the award show. Still make a big deal out of it, but just do it in tandem. Do it the same day. Do it the next day. Make a weekend event out of it. Do something to that effect, because I think that's the only way that they can really win.
Yeah, I agree.
The other really heartfelt moment, and I hope that your answer is that this one impacted you, but they brought a guy on stage and gave him like a new award. It was like, I forget what it was called. It was like...
Oh, yeah, because he made jobs for games people. Yeah.
Well, so he didn't make them, but he did like a pro bono service where he was just online, super actively engaged on LinkedIn, trying to bring people together to get them jobs, to get them reemployed, to get them the help that they need to get their back on their feet. And he went up and made like the most impactful speech I've ever heard in my life. And I was all teared up. And he was just like, you know, we work so hard in the industry, we're so vulnerable in the industry, and this means so much to me. And he went on and on and on. And it just seemed like from a genuine, heartfelt place. He thanked his parents for all the work that they'd done to allow him to be who he is. And like, that one hit.
That was
cute. How did you feel?
No, I liked that one. That one was really sweet. And he seemed very heartfelt. And I liked his little Zelda jacket.
Yeah, he was just a nerd, right? Like he.
Oh, he was just a nerd. I loved it.
He was just a big-hearted fucking nerd, and it made me so happy to hear.
Mm-hmm.
What did you think of all the outfits?
Rough.
Most of them.
Most.
Yeah. Any standout wins?
No.
Okay. Is there anything else from the Game Awards that you want to talk about?
Special shout out to Intergalactic. Very excited for that one. It looks incredible. And the weird incels online are wrong. Because a woman is on screen doesn't mean you have to sexualize her all the time. Super strange.
Yeah, I saw... Well, so I actively avoid most of the internet and stuff like this. Female main character, shaved head. Female presenting main character, shaved head. And I saw some discourse. Someone was like, oh, tell me, who's the target demographic of this? And
someone's
response was, oh, do you need to be sexually attracted to Crash Bandicoot, or does this only matter when it's a woman?
Exactly.
And like, that's the entire argument that you need to make there. Everyone just get fucked ultimately. Be better is probably a more positive response that I'm looking for here. Just be better.
And my last one.
Go.
Okami, because I've never played it and it made me excited to play Okami. So I'm going to play Okami, see how I feel about it, because they made a very big deal about how Okami is going to change your life.
That one rubbed me the wrong way because Jeff Keighley, host of the show, goes, this is for all of the gamers out there. There's not a single person that this isn't big news for. We saved the best for last, and like, this is going to be huge. And then they were like, there's a new Okami game. And myself, yourself, most of the people watching were like, okay. Neat.
I remember there was one guy in your chat who was just like, this is the greatest day of my life. Yeah. And I was like, I'm so happy for you.
So Okami is a PS2 game. It's very stylized. Someone in chat put it really well. They were like, this was the first game that really made a statement that video games can be art. And I'm like, that's very cool. That's very impactful. And the people that like Okami a lot. And I think that's awesome. But you can't kind of present this as a, this is a big deal for absolutely everybody, because it's just fucking that. Like, when we have a sample size of like 50 or so people and not a single one of them is like, oh, hell yeah. It's just kind of like, I feel like you overhyped that moment, but I'm
it was a bit overhyped,
that you're going to go and check it out.
But I'm going to check it out now. Yeah. Cause that looked good. But overall, that was kind of it for me.
Yeah. No, I'm into it. Overall, I had an absolute blast. I had so much fun hanging with you and the collective community, all of those barely gamers in there, sharing some excitement around new games and having a good time making predictions about who won. Thanks for you dressed up. We both dressed up. We looked our best.
We're a little collar.
Mm-hmm. I had a good time. I look forward to doing that again. Maybe Summer Game Fest in the summer.
Ooh, baby. Let's do it.
Speaking of doing it, the thing that you should do, Barely Gamers, is head on over to patreon.com/itdangerpod, where you can find access to a whole myriad of exclusive content. You can support the pod in the most direct way possible by buying a membership over there. You can get full video episodes. You can get monthly cameo style videos. You can get audio episodes a day early, and you can get the occasional, hey, that's kind of neat video out there, where we last week or the week before put out a live react to our Spotify Wrapped from this year, which was really cool. And we're going to put the entirety of our live reactions to the Game Awards on there as well. So if you want to support the pod, that's going to be your best way doing so. But if you've got no loons or tunes to spare, fret not. Head on over to Instagram.com/itdangerpod. We got weekly clips that we put out, a couple of them per episode. Usually it's a really fun time. I work hard on the clips. We work hard on the content. So if you're showing any love over there, know that I'm very, very grateful.
Thank you guys so much. And we'll see you next week, where we're going to be chatting about a little bit of Marvel Rivals. And I'll see you next time. Bye.
You said you're going to see him next time twice.
We're going to see you next time. Bye.
Thrice. Wow. Bye, everyone.
Three times. Oh, fun.